This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann. So for our story today, parents are getting alarmed by reports of a mysterious syndrome associated with COVID-19 in children. How is Kawasaki disease linked to COVID-19 and what do parents need to know? We speak to a consultant pediatric cardiologist to put these reports into perspective.
And as always, if you have any thoughts you would like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. So there's been no end to all these twists and turns in the COVID-19 pandemic, not least of which are the different clinical complications of the infection. And, you know, we do call the virus severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2. Medical experts do now realise that its effects traverse far beyond the respiratory system.
As cases come in by the tens of thousands worldwide every day, the disease is finding new ways to baffle doctors and scientists. So we originally thought that the virus only set up camp in the lungs, and that explained why some patients were suffering severe acute respiratory distress. But in some people, it can manifest as a gastrointestinal disease, and this causes only diarrhea and abdominal pain. And then we've been seeing headlines about how it can cause the loss of taste and smell, or something called COVID toes, and this is accompanied by some pretty gruesome pictures.
And medical experts are now beginning to understand that the SARS-CoV-2 produces aggressive inflammatory responses. And while this inflammatory response is strongly implicated in the resulting damage to the airways, it may also lead to uncontrolled inflammation. And that inflicts multi-organ damage, leading to organ failure, especially in the heart, liver and kidneys. And really, to just add to every parent's fear, just this past week, the latest news making the rounds is a mysterious illness in children, possibly related to COVID-19.
So before we continue, though, I would like to reassure you that the majority of COVID-19 infections are mild. And when the spread of the disease is well controlled, as is the case currently here in Malaysia, our healthcare system is able to treat every case promptly and effectively. So that's why our recovery rate exceeds 80% and we have a low fatality rate of about 1.64%. So with this in mind, we'll look at the reports about these new symptoms that we have been seeing in some children.
Yeah, so the US, UK and Europe have reported that some children between the ages of 2 and 15 have been showing symptoms associated with toxic shock syndrome or with Kawasaki disease, and that is a rare illness in children that involves inflammation of the blood vessels. And some of the symptoms reported in the kids are fever, rash, vomiting and diarrhea.
Yeah, around 230 suspected cases have been reported in Europe, including in the UK where a 14-year-old boy died last week, and in France where a 9-year-old boy died. At least 100 children have been diagnosed in New York, including 3 who had died, and cases have also been reported in Louisiana, Mississippi, and California.
But here's the interesting part. Although many of the children tested positive for the coronavirus, others didn't. And doctors still now aren't really sure whether what they're seeing is true Kawasaki disease. So these are symptoms called pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome or disorder for the time being. The World Health Organization has cautioned that the full spectrum of the disease is not yet known and more data will be needed from countries describing clinical presentation, severity, outcomes and epidemiology.
And right now, everything is pretty confusing. So it's not surprising that parents are alarmed by what they're reading. So we've got on the line consultant pediatric cardiologist, Datuk Dr. Zulkifli Ismail, to help put all of this into perspective for us. Dr. Zulkifli, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. So firstly, can you briefly explain what Kawasaki disease is and how it's been linked to COVID-19 in children?
Kawasaki disease is actually a disease of unknown cause. It was described by Dr. Kawasaki sometime in the 70s, and you have to fulfill a criteria which includes high fever, rash, lymph node enlargement, swollen hands and feet, and red lips, typical red lips and eyes, and sometimes there's also flaring of the BCG scar. And these affect children aged less than 5 years. The difference between this group of Kawasaki, the original Kawasaki disease, and the Kawasaki disease-like syndrome that's been described to be associated with COVID-19, or what people have called the PMIS, pediatric multi-organ, multi-system inflammatory syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that affects the older children. And it also, and the affection of the heart for this group, the ones that are with associated with COVID, is actually higher than what's been associated with the original Kawasaki disease, which is in the region of about 20%.
So some of the reports, including from the WHO, caution that the symptoms could also be due to toxic shock syndrome. Are both conditions overlapping?
Toxic shock syndrome is associated with an infection by bacteria. These are either streptococcus or staphylococcus, and if patients go into shock. There is a condition called Kawasaki disease shock syndrome as well. So, you know, because of the involvement of organisms, and it involves actually the activation or an overactivation of the patient's own immune response that causes this cascade of reactions, causing the end product of the shock syndrome.
So then can you put these cases into context for us, right? For example, how common is the manifestation of these symptoms in children with COVID? Who is vulnerable and what are their outcomes?
All right. You look at the cases that have been reported in all the thousand cases reported in China and in the other Asian countries, including our own, there have not been any reports of this pediatric multi-system inflammatory syndrome or this Kawasaki disease toxic shock syndrome-like condition. It's been reported only in Western countries at the moment. As you know, a lot of it was reported in Italy, and then now the United States have got children who got it and also have passed away because of it, and it's been reported also in UK. Now, it's very odd because it is still a process of learning. We still don't know. There are a lot of unknowns with regard to the pandemic at the moment. And we don't know why it is affecting more of the Caucasian children, whereas in the Asian children, it's not been reported. Now, you have to remember that Kawasaki disease was first described among Asian children. It was described in Japan first, and it took them about 6 years or so before they described the first case in the United States. And so I think to put things into perspective here, number one, we don't know which children will be vulnerable to this sort of syndrome. Number two, we know that it affects mainly the Caucasian children. We have not seen any cases here in Asian region. And as far as how common it is, I think it's not that common to find the association. They will probably have to look for it. And it's not been reported in this region at all.
So since then, there aren't any reported cases of the syndrome in this region, what advice would you give to parents who are worried about, you know, what they're reading online?
There's a lot of articles that will come out because of this. And because of social media, everybody gets this sort of information. I think that people have to read it with some facts, you know, and I think parents should not be too overly worried about it. They should protect their children as they should be protecting themselves and their parents, but they should not be overly worried when they read such things, because these things will come out and it will be highlighted in the media, but we have to read it with a bit of caution and understand in the totality, in the context of the whole disease. So my advice to parents is don't worry about what they read, screen what they read, and then get in touch with healthcare professionals who understand it better and let them explain to them.
So initially, a lot of reports were saying that children do not seem to be as severely affected by COVID-19 as compared to adults. But taking this new development into consideration, what is your advice for parents to continue to keep children safe from COVID-19?
At the moment, it still stands that children will not get severe diseases. And it is the elderly as well as the ones with comorbidities or associated diseases that actually end up with severe disease and distress and get ventilated and eventually succumb. Now, if you look at data, right, look at the data from China. Look at the, no, don't, we don't have to go that far. look at data from our own country, Ministry of Health reported 317 cases of children with COVID-19. There were no deaths among the children. And then number two is we have had no reports of this Kawasaki disease or toxic shock syndrome-like association here. And look at the what has been described in China, where they described 1,000 over children with COVID-19. None of this syndrome associated there as well. The death rate was actually very low. So while parents should protect their children from getting the infection, like I said, just as they should be protecting themselves and their mm-hmm. parents and grandparents, they should not be overly worried about it. Just make sure that the children stay safe. Don't go and take them to crowded places. Don't leave the house, because right now your house is the most secure place for you. You can control the safety in your house. You can control the cleanliness in your house. You can sanitize things in your house. But you have no control once you walk out of the house and once you go to the shops. So it is always a good idea to just keep your children at home, but take them out only for necessary visits. Now, I just want to record here that parents also should not ignore or forget the scheduled vaccinations that children should get. Those vaccinations, especially the MMR vaccines at 9 months and 1 year, should still continue, and so should all the other vaccines, so that they will be protected against all these other diseases.
Thank you, Dr. Zulkifli. That was Datuk Dr. Zulkifli Ismail, consultant pediatric cardiologist, sort of putting at ease our fears over this mysterious illness that is afflicting children with COVID-19. Mm. The media reports are making it sound frightening, but as Dr. Zulkifli has explained, there's no need for parents to overreact. You know, it is difficult to avoid that sensationalistic, fear-mongering articles during this time. But just remember that the headlines aren't always the whole story.
Mm, that's right. And as you said earlier, Sharmila, now, the majority of COVID-19 infections are mild, you know, and in fact, many of these are asymptomatic. And that is, of course, a problem in itself, because that then makes the disease easily transmissible. And so the same precautions for adults also apply to children. And that's why the health authorities are cautioning us to not bring children out to crowded places. And this includes supermarkets and shopping malls.
Yes. And with festivals like Hari Raya and Gawai around the corner, be extra careful with children and the older folk in your family as well. So that's it from us today. But you can continue to tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And on Facebook, we are BFM The Bigger Picture, if you'd like to message us there. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dashrun Johan will be speaking to Dr. Karim Batash, who is a senior lecturer in psychology, about why the COVID-19 pandemic has brought out the worst in some people. Stay tuned for that after the 3 o'clock news. But first, here's Think by Aretha Franklin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.